Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Barca Blaugranas podcast. And I think for the second time in a row, we have Nick coming on to chat about good news in Barcelona land. Nick, how are we doing?
Yeah, this is great news in Barcelona land, so feeling very good.
Yeah, I messaged you yesterday afternoon saying we are going to have an interesting podcast today. And I was kind of talking like either way, it was going to be interesting because if they were to lose, we would have felt shortchanged because I think just of how Barcelona have played recently, they were 100% capable of the result they put out yesterday. Like their, I think Jill put it in her five things to learn, but like they, Barcelona, I think her point was Barcelona roll back the years. And it is like these last two performances against Valencia and Napoli yesterday felt like vintage Barcelona. Did you kind of get that feeling?
I did. I from the beginning with Xavi in particular, even when the results weren't coming, you could tell that there was a system that he was trying to implement, even when it wasn't successful. And it hasn't changed that much over the few months that he's been here. Right now, I think with the right people in place and maybe just spending more time together, maybe it's just you get a few good wins together and then it just becomes contagious. But one way or another, there's a system there. It's working. It is a little bit vintage because you can see so many elements from the days when Xavi was a player. And it just looks like a system that's working. And I think these new players who have come in from the January transfer window have made a huge impact in making it work.
So let me ask you this and then I'm about to pontificate for 30 seconds. In a second, I'm going to ask you this. I'm not saying Barcelona's back, whatever. I guess I didn't expect results like the ones we saw over the weekend and the results like yesterday till next year. I was kind of expecting, lackluster offensive performances as Xavi was trying to implement a system. I didn't really see these sort of offensive outbursts where they actually look like they know what they're doing with the ball. I kind of expected them just to drag out results, still potentially get top four. Are you surprised that we're seeing glimpses? Like, we're not going to see this every game, but are you surprised we're seeing glimpses this early on of an offensively potent Barcelona again?
Okay, so what I think it is, and the way that you phrased the question, it makes me think back a little bit, just a few years. And I think what's happened is that a lot of the players who have been around for a long time, who were the leaders of the team, have finally gotten their confidence back. So I'm not surprised to see like big results because they've always had the talent, but especially after that Bayern Munich thrashing a few years back in the Champions League, that set off this just cloud of doubts over the entire club and all of the other distractions and horrible things that were happening in the background. I think everyone was losing their confidence. Even the new players that were coming in were like, well, someone has to be the leader here. And I think things started to click in the last few months. I think Xavi's always had the confidence as a manager, even when the results weren't there for a few months. The way I would always say, man, the way he talks after every single game, whether it's a win, loss, or a draw, it's always accurate. It's always the truth. And he's never making excuses. What he's always saying, the theme is always, we have the talent. We can do this, but the players have to believe in it. And I think they're starting to finally believe that they're as good as their talent would suggest.
Yeah, let's talk about a few individual players in particular. Let's talk about Frenkie de Jong, a player that was, I personally think, and I think we even chatted about this, unfairly scrutinized in this strange, you know, last year and a half Barcelona have had. I think the way that the team has played hasn't allowed him to do what he does best. And yesterday was, I think, the Frenkie de Jong that we expect and hope to be at Barcelona for years to come. What were your thoughts on Frankie's performance?
It's been coming. Even when Frenkie isn't getting the goals or the assists or making a huge impact, he came here for a reason. Out of the Ajax system, He is a great center midfielder, extremely versatile. He takes instruction very well. It was just a year ago. I don't know if you remember under Quinman in January, where he was the guy in January that was like going forward, making those runs into the box and scoring goals. He can do so much. And right now, you know, when it comes to Frankie, I think he's a player who can really be a leader on this team and giving himself permission to shine the way that Pedri shines and Gavi shines, and not just being the glue of the team, which he's been for a really long time. But when you saw the goal he scored against Napoli, incredible class. And you just saw that coming after the first touch. He took that one penetrating step and you were like, oh my God, I think he's going to bend this thing in. And then it was just a perfect strike. But he was the guy that rescued the points against Alaves a few games back. I think his form has been growing and growing. And hopefully now he, you know, gives himself permission to be, you know, a superstar in this team, because really he has the ability to be that good.
I loved the way you phrased that. The two things you said are he was kind of the glue and allowing himself to be a superstar in these situations because he feels more comfortable going forward and being more creative and allowing more of that to flourish because he doesn't feel like he's as exposed with the way Barcelona are playing anymore, which is awesome. And I think part of that is, like you mentioned, the confidence of some of the old heads, whether that's Jordi Alba or Busquets. I still wouldn't say I'm happy that Busquets is forced to play as much as he is, but he doesn't look as old. Let's talk about Jordi Alba. He looks like Jordi Alba again. There's still age there, right? If you put him up against a winger with speed, he's still going to get exposed a little bit. But offensively, he's looked great.
Yeah, offensively, he's the kind of player I think who has very like a short-term memory. So even after he has a bad game, maybe that's just who Jordi Alba is, a chip on his shoulder constantly, doesn't expect to be praised. So every single game, whether it's a good one or a bad one, he goes back out there and he just maximizes his strengths, which is to go forward and be really dangerous on the left flank. And I think that's awesome. And, you know, on the right side, you have, especially with Traoré, you have someone who's your winger there who can be vertical and provide the threat. But on the left side, maybe unless you play Dembélé on the left as well, Jordi Alba is going to be the threat. He needs to be that guy. And, you know, there's going to be tough challenges coming ahead, especially with the old guard against big games and the best teams in Europe. The Clásico is going to be fascinating coming up in March. But Jordi Alba is so important to this team. I wouldn't put him in the same category as the other players who have been around for so long, just because I feel like he's a hard worker. And a lot of what he does comes from the fact that he's confident and hardworking that never stops.
And there's also not a ton of other options if he isn't all of those things at that position.
Yeah, I think it's Sergiño Dest is the only person who can really play as a left fullback.
Yeah. You mentioned the schedule coming up. So I think the next time you and I'll chat will be near the end of March. And that'll be right in between the Clásico and the match against Sevilla in early April. So it'll be a fun time. Let's talk about you and I last spoke in the middle of January. Right before Traoré and Aubameyang came on board. What are your thoughts on, we'll talk about Aubameyang in a second because I think he's a more interesting conversation. Traoré is kind of the stand-in for Dembélé at this point, but he's actually been really good, better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was just going to be someone they put out there to try and kind of stem the tide of Dembélé a little bit till he can mend the relationship with the fans and then maybe slide him, Traoré to the bench, Dembélé back in starting lineup, but he's been good. Has he been good enough, do you think, to keep his starting spot?
Yeah, I was actually surprised that he was dropped at all last week, except for, you know, the thing about a player like him, unlike a Ferran Torres, he's the way that he plays, he kind of requires more rest because he gives you these sprints and the thing you worry about are like hamstring injuries and stuff like that. But in terms of form and what he's giving in performances, I think he's been the best player this month. Things really turned around in February. And I would go as far as to say, like, my theory, from what I can see, like, where did that huge spark of confidence come that gave Barcelona this run of form? It came from Adama Traoré. Like, where did the belief come from? Having a weapon who is so dangerous that he requires certainly not a one-on-one. If he's going one-on-one, that defender is done. He requires a double team and a lot of times a triple team that opens up space for everybody else. And he's just, you know, so energetic and so dangerous. that I think he kind of inspires that belief in everyone else and their own talents and skills.
He was this weird spark coming into like this somewhat, and Barcelona had started to come around a little bit in January, but he came into this like weird, decrepit, slow team. And yes. In the NBA, there's this, Bill Simmons calls him irrational confidence guys. And it was kind of like Traore came in. It was just irrationally like, what are you guys doing? And it was just immediately a spark. And it seems to have lit some sort of fire. Aubameyang as well, just inserting this speed and intensity to a team that was kind of used to just sitting around.
And what's amazing is that, you know, he's one of those guys who some people don't love him. It's love or hate kind of player, Traore. And for the ones who don't love him, they always say he's so predictable. Oh my God, all he can do is take the defender down the line and get across in the box. Yeah, but he's so confident. And it works like 90% of the time, you're going to keep doing it. And when it doesn't work, it's because he's being double teamed, in which case he's smart enough coming from the Barcelona system to know just to pass it backwards and keep it, you know, keep the ball circulating. So he's been a great
I was going to say, if that's the one thing he does, keep doing it. You can do that every single time. And that's exactly what this club needs.
Maximize
right
your strengths. If that's the best thing you do and no one can stop you, just keep doing it. And it's been working.
Yeah. Let's talk about, there weren't very many negatives. Ter Stegen, I am so conflicted and confused by his like strange performances when he puts them in. Yesterday, another weird challenge that was just like when you think about him a couple years ago, just very un-Ter Stegen like. What have your thoughts been watching Ter Stegen's odd season so far?
Yeah, I would say as supporters, really try not to overreact. And I would say, look at De Gea, who was getting so much criticism at Manchester United. And, you know, this is going to happen to goalkeepers. But someone like Ter Stegen, he thrives on his arrogance and his confidence in doing things that like a Courtois would never do. Just a big dude. Donnarumma would never do it. They're just disciplined. They just sit in the goal and, you know, that's just how they play. I think Ter Stegen's game, he's so good with his feet. He's such a good player for the Barcelona system. I think he is making mistakes, needs to own those. But just like De Gea turned it around and is one of the best keepers in the Premier League right now, Ter Stegen might have a bad season. But, you know, good luck if you think you're going to replace him because you just don't know what you're going to get. And I stand by Ter Stegen. But at the same time, I think he needs to, and I think he is, like he said in this quote this week, no one knows more than me when I'm making mistakes, so I need to do better. So hope he does better. And I think he will if we give him some patience.
Yeah, so let's talk about Barcelona's draw in the Europa League. When I saw Galatasaray, now listen, I don't know about you, but I don't adequately follow the Turkish league. And when I saw Galatasaray, I thought, oh, they're great. And then I looked up the standings, and they're currently sitting 13th place. They're literally 30 points off the top of the table in their own league. So. Is this a great draw for Barcelona then? Like, do we get to go into a hostile environment to a team that, you know, according to their, you know, recent run of games is kind of crap. How are you feeling about Galatasaray?
You know, I think that's great, especially after Napoli. When we drew with Napoli, I was like, this is a very concerning game for our first game of the Europa League tournament. Galatasaray, I guess those Barcelona connections that are being called out now are really interesting. Apparently the coach was an assistant for Pep Guardiola, which is, well, apparently it's not working for them, but he was, and that's an interesting connection. And Iñaki Peña is over there now, and actually he's the starting goalkeeper. He's been there for a while. But no, Barcelona shouldn't be worried. In fact, if you're Barcelona right now with your form, I wouldn't be worried about anyone. But you have to be focused and not arrogant either. I think that's the bigger thing. You're a little bit humbled going into Napoli, knowing that they're a good team that can be dangerous, very good defensively. And against Galatasaray, it's like, okay, yeah, they're not going to be the best team, especially compared to Napoli, but we already know from La Liga and playing against bottom of the table teams that it means nothing in any given day.
Yeah, I think I underestimated how poor their form is. They've won just 8 out of their last 26 matches. And the Barcelona connection you talked about with Turin, but there's also Iñaki Peña, who moved on to Galatasaray on loan just last month, and then Arda Turan, of course. I think, frankly, the thing I'm most excited about is just the crazy week build up to the away fixture, where I just get to see videos of Turkish fans going wild in the stands with fireworks and all that fun stuff.
It's a good environment. Yeah,
it's a really good environment, and of course, in the opening match at the Camp Nou, they're going to be without Gavi, who picked up his third yellow card in the match yesterday. How are you feeling about, and kind of starting to wrap up here. How are you feeling about La Liga right now with Barcelona's current form? Their schedule coming up isn't the... It's like, it's fine. They play Bilbao this weekend, and then they have Elche the weekend after that, also Osasuna. And then after the second leg against Galatasaray, 3 days later is the Clásico and then Sevilla. So they have a few matches that they could use to continue to build on kind of what they've started to build on in La Liga in this calendar year. So how are you feeling about the domestic situation?
Feeling good, but there's so much competition right now mm-hmm. at the top of the table that, you know, it's going to require maximum concentration. And not, you can't have a dip in form. I'm feeling much better about a top four finish, but you can't feel really good about it, because as good as things were in February, which was a fantastic February, oh my God, it was so hard coming into this month. I was very concerned about if things were going to click or not. But, you know, I'm feeling good about that. I think hopefully instead of worrying about the teams below them in the table right now and getting a top four finish, what they're really thinking about is, can we catch Betis? Can we catch Sevilla? And being ambitious. Because mm-hmm. that's going to be, I think, their best ticket right now, seeing themselves as, you know, second to Real Madrid, they can't catch, but that's, you know, they can catch Sevilla, and that'd be a great goal. And then they're focusing on climbing and not being caught.
Yeah, and below them. They have a match in hand, but between fourth and eighth place is 5 points right now. So they can obviously extend that if they beat Bilbao over the weekend, but it's still very close.
Just as
close,
a reminder,
like
Athletic knocked Barcelona out of the Copa del Rey, and then they knocked out Real Madrid from the Copa del Rey, and they can be inconsistent, but this is a team that loves playing Barcelona. So it's going to be a fun game this weekend.
Yeah. And certainly Barcelona is going to be riding high off of the Europa League win midweek. I just got to say it was good. It's a different European setting, but it was nice to be instilled with like a sense of things to come yesterday, like seeing Barcelona be brilliant on a midweek European matchup it's awesome. And it gives me a lot of excitement for the upcoming matches against Galatasaray and continuing to tell myself that I care about the Europa League. But also it just gives me a lot of hope for what can Xavi do with this team in the next 9 months? Nevertheless, what he's already done with them in a couple short months. And it's exciting stuff.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, I'm part of like what has brought the success are players who are on loans or on short-term deals. And we still don't know what's going to happen with Dembélé's contract situation. It feels like anything is possible at this point. So it is like looking beyond even this season and what this project is going to be. You call it a stopgap that's really worked, but then really consequential decisions are going to have to be made soon by the directors and by Xavi, who seems to have a lot of influence. So it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I would correct your statement about anything is possible. Anything is possible except for Erling Haaland coming to Barcelona. That is not happening. We're not getting Erling Haaland this summer. That's all I got, Nick. Are you working on anything for the site right now, or what can we expect from you in the coming weeks?
Yeah, you know, kind of just the same old. What I really like to do is just everything changes so much game to game in terms of what a different team we have now from just a month ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah, we get some positive Nick pieces. I like this.
Yeah, positivity is really good. And just part of the positivity is being able to really look at this team in a tactical way now, because there are real tactics to see, a real like system in place. So that's where Barcelona fans really, that's where the love comes from. And that's what I'd like to do more of now, seeing what's working and just analyzing how it's working and why it's happening. So that's what I'm going to be looking at.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on as always. And next time we chat, hopefully this club will be in solid, maybe third place, probably still fourth, but heading into a couple of huge fixtures where we can go in feeling confident and not scared anymore, which is going to be fun.
Yeah. Looking forward to all that.